105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another bi-weekly edition of the BizConnect radio show with myself, Martin White. I'm delighted to say that we've got a couple of fabulous studio guests with us today as well. To my right, we have
Jane Chakravorty from Invicta Linux.
Jane, lovely to see you and have you on the show today. And to my left,
Bruce Gidd from Operational Accounting Systems, specialist software company in Ashford.
Fantastic. And Bruce, I think we'll turn to you first if we can. Just tell us a little bit about Oasis and what you guys do, if you don't mind.
No problem. Thank you, Martin, firstly, for having me here today. So, in essence, Oasis is a software company that supply integrated end-to-end software solutions to a wide range of customers in a whole load of different industries. And in essence, that is what we do. Of course, from there, through these software solutions that we then supply, we have things like the accounting, back office stuff. We've got supply chain management in there. We've got warehouse management, inventory optimization, CRM, service and help desk management, payroll construction. So a whole host of areas that we cover. Now, through the software solutions we supply, we help our customers to really maximize the time that they can spend in their business. We do this by introducing new processes. We do this by helping them digitize, by going paperless, by helping them through consultation areas like when the new furlough schemes were introduced, for example. We had to be absolutely at the forefront of the information that came out so that we can advise and help our customers through areas which they didn't really understand at that point in time.
Yeah.
So further to that, things like payroll and HR, connecting to HMRC for payroll issues, when things like, again, furlough, because someone had to pay, people had to be paid, it had to go for payroll systems. We had to understand what HMRC wants to happen on this side. There were certain job reports that had to be done and attached to HMRC on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. And these are the things that we actually had to help our customers with through this time. Mm-hmm. In essence, that's really what we do, because that's what Oasis is. We support our customers, we help them, we support them through areas that need changing to help them maximize what they do. We found that for our customers, time has become a real thing, because nowadays you can't just anymore go, oh, I don't have someone to do a job, I'll just get another person in. Mm. We can't afford that. So we had to really start, the customers really had to start looking at the time they spent on certain elements in their business. Mm-hmm. And again, this is where we came in. How can we save time? Mm. You know, what is the thing that takes the most? You enter 12,000 invoices. Mm. What do you do? That someone has to do that. Mm. How can you minimize the time that is spent on those areas?
So it's about sort of automating business process in many ways.
Absolutely. I think invoice automation has become a hot topic for a lot of our customers now, because again, you know, is how can we minimize time spent on an area that we don't need to? Time really should be used making decisions, and those decisions can only be made if your information is up to date, if your systems work for you, and if your processes work for you. And only then can you make reasonable and proper decisions based around what your business needs to do going into the future. So that is where Oasis has really helped our customers, and that's the essence of what we do.
Yeah.
It's all about help. I mean, I say that word a lot, but we support our customers. You know, these people, these guys get into situations where they haven't asked to happen. You know, things like Brexit, things like the COVID pandemic, they've not asked for those things to happen, yet they still have to do business. Mm. And how do you help them get through those processes? Mm. Well, by looking towards the future, what's going to happen future, how are we going to need to change our business, and adapting to different hybrid models, of course, so that we can give everybody in the company what they need, while we can be as productive as possible in the areas that we work in.
Yeah.
So that is where we've really made a difference to a lot of our customers, and that's what we do. So very often we say we're just a software company, but I think we're a little bit more than that, because we really help our customers. We build relationships with them. We listen to them. We understand the issues they face. And therefore, they've become, most of our customers become long-term to us.
Well, you're like a fundamental partner, I would argue. Mm. Yeah.
Having an effective and an efficient workflow process in any business is absolutely essential.
It's absolutely vital. It makes a huge amount of difference, you know, in so many areas in the business.
Yeah.
It also identifies where we can improve what we do. Mm. You know, when you start looking at these areas in your business, you start realizing how much time you spend on things that you shouldn't be spending on. You know, whether that is a piece of paper that floats around the office that five people have to sign to say they checked something, or whether that is a driver that loses a proof of delivery when he's delivered on the way back to the office, the wind blew it out or he messed his coffee on it. You know how it goes. It's just how it works. Mm. You know, those things... To change those things, you know, that you have to go digitization. You have to think how is software going to help, how is software going to solve those problems. Mm. So that's what we do as a company. We really try to help.
And how nice for a business owner to just, or the, you know, the IT person within a business to be able to pick up the phone and have that conversation with you and say, look, I've got this bit of a problem at the moment. You know, we're not very accurate or efficient in terms of how we record this information or how we process this data, to be able to run a payroll system, for example, under furlough or whatever it might be. Can you help us? And, you know, that's the first kind of question, really, isn't it? Can you help us?
Absolutely, and it's quite a nice question to get, because 90% of the times we can help.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, especially when it comes to systems. When it comes to any form of a software system that helps the business, we've got that covered. Yeah. It then really becomes about the relationship where you build with your customer to make sure you can help them and guide them, because there has to be a certain element of trust. You know, they put so much in your hands to change what they do as a business. So there has to be that trust between you and the customer. Yeah. And that is what stems from that simple question of, can you help me?
Yeah.
Absolutely, I can. I can help you a lot.
That might be a fairly, simple, example in the first instance. But then, of course, the trust is there. And then, you know, you become the kind of the go-to guys, don't you?
And
that long-term relationship builds from there.
Yeah, I also believe that people and businesses need to do what they're good at. Mm. You know, companies who have our software solutions are good at what they do. They're good at selling their products, or they're good at making what they make, and they're good at that. Mm. It doesn't mean they're necessarily at the forefront of what technology can offer them in their businesses, because they're so busy managing what they do within and managing the processes that they do. And therefore, a company like us becomes vitally important to businesses like that, because we have that specialism that sits behind what they need to achieve. And that's why our relationships work so well, because it's a two-way thing, isn't it? It's a give and take. Mm-hmm. But to be able to help someone, you know, that's what we do, and that's a real great satisfaction, when you come at the end of it and you go, look, you've 12,000 invoices that's being read in by an AI system. Mm. You don't have to post.
Well, and you mentioned payroll. Payroll's a great example, isn't it? I mean, under furloughs, particularly when, you know, flexible furlough came in. You know, and then, you know, you had different people working different hours and being paid different amounts. Yeah. Therefore, you know, to be able to automate that, you know, is obviously
absolutely. And you know, and then employees start asking, "What about? Okay, I'm on furlough, but what about my holiday? Is it still accruing? Can I take it? How does that work?" You know, those kind of things that, as a company, we don't necessarily deal with, but those are the things you had to learn to be able to support the people out there, because those are the questions that are being asked by the people, and they use our software. So you have to be able to help. You have to give that little bit extra, I suppose.
HR consultant, software developer, a lot.
Yes. You have to kind of be able to understand the full business to be able to support them and help them in the end to make the changes that they need to do so that they can actually get through the future and differences that they have to do.
Fantastic, good. Well, I think what we'll do now, Bruce, we're going to play, we touched on so many themes there in terms of how you guys, you know, add value. But I think what we'll do is we'll play a little bit of music, and when we come back, I'd like to understand, Jane, also, you know, if we can bring you in here, how we think, the business world today has fundamentally changed from the business world that existed 18 months ago. The demands that we're seeing on IT solutions, and how they've had to kind of evolve basically, to be able to kind of meet those new needs, if you like, in the marketplace. So we'll have a bit of a discussion about that, I think.
Great.
Fantastic. So stay with us, everybody, and we'll be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back, everybody. We've got a bit of a information technology theme to our BizConnect radio show today. And we've got two fabulous guests with us in the studio. We've got Jane Chakravorty from Invicta Linux. And we've also just been hearing from Bruce Kidd at Operational Accounting Systems Oasis. Guys, what I'd like to do now, if possible, is just sort of understand how the business world has changed in the last 18 months in terms of working practices, for example, remote working, office downsizing, and the demands that that's placing on business information technology. So Jane, if I can come to you, first of all, what's the kind of changing dynamic you're seeing with your clients? Is it more outsourcing of IT needs, for example? Is it smaller office space where we can't necessarily host all of our IT equipment moving forwards? What's going on in the marketplace?
We haven't seen too much downsizing. We haven't seen too much outsourcing either. So I think our clients generally made the transition from work going to the office to going home very well. Some people love being at home and working, and some people didn't like it. And of course, you do lose that sort of nod to a colleague aspect. Mm. I think other processes have accelerated. Generally, our adoption of technology, AI, machine learning is accelerated during that time. And we're seeing people that we didn't even would ever pick up a smartphone, using a smartphone, ordering from Amazon. Other outlets are available, obviously. I think... It's just accelerated the trends that were in place in the first place.
Right, interesting. And Bruce, what's your take on all of that? I mean, I guess it's come with its problems, hasn't it? I mean, you can't all of a sudden go from an office environment to having 75% of your workforce or even more working remotely, without being able to facilitate, hardware equipment, laptops, internet connections, things like that. I guess that has been a challenge in its own right.
Absolutely. I think for some of our customers, that's been a massive challenge. Mm. Personally, for us, that's also been a challenge. Mm. So internally, adapting to that very quick IT changes for us was quite a big thing to do. Mm. I think for our customers, the changes that they were forced to think about, bearing in mind that a lot of our customers are manufacturers, people who pack stuff, so they actually carried on working right throughout the pandemic. Mm. But of course, large proportions of people were then suddenly having to work remotely, even in those businesses. That became a real thing because the IT requirements that is needed for that wasn't necessarily in place. But I also found that things like smaller things became real issues for some of our customers, like going paperless. Mm. Now, it sounds an easy thing to do, but, if you work in an office and you pass papers around and suddenly you don't anymore, mm-hmm. because you're at home, going paperless was the way to go in adapting to that new way of work. Then digitization goes with that, because this allows us to have apps on our phones that connects to our system. It just connects everything so much better. Mm. Real-time accurate data was one of the biggest requirements, because you can't share information across the room anymore. So you have to actually, share it over a system. Mm-hmm. And if your system allows you to record all your data in real-time very quickly, then you've got access to all of that very, very easily. And the last thing that what was a real big requirement and some real big projects was IT requirements. So some customers moving away from the traditional server to an outsourced system because, well, they don't have an office anymore particularly, so you don't need to have somewhere to store that. Also, it gives you the data connectivity you need. It gives you all the rules and regulations with GDPR and the
security.
The crypto security. Everything that you need is in there, basically. Cybersecurity, not crypto security, sorry. As everything you need is in there, and therefore, that's again, that's become a real different way for a lot of people to work, because, you know, you're not used to that. We certainly work like that, so being able to advise and adapt people on that was great.
And I guess something like, you know, I guess we would bracket that as sort of co-location, you know, with a data centre, so partnering with a data centre, which might traditionally have been, you know, regarded as something that, that was for the big companies, you know, where they need to have that kind of backup security and on that level, you know, because they're multinational and, you know, whatever. But actually, smaller businesses have really kind of, you know, seen that opportunity.
Absolutely. I think smaller businesses traditionally, in my opinion, before pandemic, were reluctant to move to the cloud because they had security questions about what it means for them. When in actual fact, I think it's so much better for anybody. You know, from a security point of view, it's you're so secure in how you work, where the data is kept. So, and this has forced people to quickly get over that.
Ironically, those businesses were probably, you know, running a server in their office with some kind of manual backup, possibly, you know, with and actually weren't secure at all in terms of business continuity should the building burn down or whatever.
I think people absolutely expect some kind of cloud solution because you need to access your data from everywhere. And anywhere, and so long as you've got internet. So, but I think there's clouds and there's clouds, obviously. You know, you've got some security risks here, and you've also got some uploading issues if you have large files. But so, you know, we advocate private clouds, the use of private cloud, completely GDPR compliant and completely safe and very secure. So, yeah, and the thing is with a data center, it can be a bit pricey, I think. We've had a few quotes for people considering that, and I think it can be pricey. I mean, there are data centres and data centres, of course, so it depends who you go to. So,
interesting. So let's talk now, Bruce, if we can, about some of the kind of specific solutions that you guys have kind of really been focusing on. And I'm particularly interested in things like, you know, stock inventory management, for example. The construction industry has been an industry under lockdown that has been booming. I think it's fair to say, because they weren't required to lock down. And actually, since we've come out of lockdown, things have got even busier for construction firms generally, I think. And that's the whole supply chain there as well, and the pressures that that's putting on the supply chain, you know, whether you're an electrical or a heating contractor, for example, supplying into a main contractor. So let's talk about some of the kind of specifics around stock and inventory management, and I'm thinking specifically now about you know, its relevance for the hospitality industry, for example, the current kind of logistics crisis that we kind of find ourselves in terms of product not being able to get from A to B, but also construction industry in terms of cost tracking, because there's huge inflationary pressures in that particular industry at the moment as well. And if you're a main contractor and, you know, you're quoting a fixed price for a job, it must be an absolute, you know, you're kind of living on your wits' ends at the moment, because the price of raw materials is kind of going up and fluctuating. So how do some of your solutions kind of address these problems?
So firstly, if I look at the stock and inventory management side, we have a system called EasyStock that integrates with several other systems out there in the marketplace, but it's a specialist inventory optimization system. What the system does is, almost in a clever way, it looks at your sales and purchase data for the last 3 years. It then puts that into a format. It classes it, it classifies it, and it classifies each of your items on a spectrum. Now, this guy, there are nine different spectrums. This could be anything from a new product to an outgoing product to an erratic product, so something that you sell and then sell again and there's no reason for it. Then you get seasonality products, so it's seasonal. And together with all this classification, together with your suppliers and together with your lead time, that system then makes decisions for you based on the purchases you should be doing, based on the sales that you have done in your business. Mm. Now, it sounds like, well, anybody can do that. Mm. But when you deal with 40,000 products in a warehouse, mm. anybody can't do that manually. Mm. And when the system becomes vitally important, it's because it is written in such a way that it has some functionality in that changes the algorithms as the business go along. It constantly looks at your data and making newer decisions as you go along, mm-hmm. forecasting your products. Mm-hmm. Now, the return on investment for something like this is between 20 and 40% of your stock holding. Mm. Now, it sounds, you know, it sounds outrageous, but it's true because it maximizes the impact that your stock has on your business. So you don't have dead stock sitting in a warehouse that doesn't sell because the system knows and it looks at that. Mm-hmm. And this has become especially important nowadays with the issues we are having with the HGB drivers, with getting stock from point A to point B, the Brexit effect, the COVID effect, all those things have affected how stock gets from one point to the other. Now, what the system allows us to do is, well, we know we are now in a situation, and the system allows us to adapt the situation as we go along, therefore very cleverly allowing us to manage our stock to get through a time like this. Mm. It reads trends going forward, so even before you see something happening, it actually reads it in your data. That makes it very, very clever system and something to have.
So you can
people in that
plug in things like lead times, for example.
Absolutely.
And therefore it will bring forward the automatic order trigger
Correct.
To a point in time where you know actually it's now going to take me 6 weeks to get this product rather than, you know, 4 weeks
Correct.
Or whatever it might be.
Which when you think about companies dealing with Christmas stock, for example, how important is that? Because a lot of the stuff comes on a train, on a ship
container.
From afar, on a container from far away, takes 6 months to get here. How do you plan for that? You know, come June month, you can't go, I need Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
Your system needs to plan for that. You need to know when this is going to happen. This is why something like this, which an inventory optimization is so important because it really manages an area of your business that's difficult otherwise.
That's a great example. Brilliant. Well, thanks for that, Bruce. I think what we'll do, we're going to play a little bit more music, and then when we come back, if we can have a chat with you, Jane, and just understand a little bit more about Invicta Linux and how you get involved with clients as well in terms of helping solve their IT problems. So do stay with us, and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, to our information technology-themed BizConnect radio show today. We've got two fabulous guests with us. We've just been hearing from Bruce Kidd at Oasis all about his Easy Stock inventory management solution. And now we're going to have a conversation with Jane Chakravorty at Invicta Linux. Jane, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Martin.
We haven't seen you for a while, so it's lovely to have you with us today. Jane, just by way of an introduction, tell us a little bit about Invicta Linux, please, and the problems you help businesses solve in terms of their IT needs.
Thanks, Martin. Lovely to be here. So Invicta Linux, I think it's more like a farm shop or a farmer's market than a big outlet. Our commercial model is slightly different. We tend to focus on open source solutions, which is great. We work with our clients very closely. And we like to think we're part of their team, really. They don't really care much about IT. They just want it to work. Mm. So we sell, really, what they want, what will fit into their business, and we use it too. We have to. In fact, Bruce and I were just talking earlier on about the importance of that, of knowing your product very well.
You mentioned open source right at the beginning there. So what does that actually mean? What is open source?
Well,
to the layperson.
I'm glad you asked me that, Martin. Right. How long have we got? Okay. We're enthusiastic advocates of open source, and we all use it. WordPress, for instance, is open source. Mm. Most of the web servers in the world run on open source.
Mm-hmm. You might have, if you're a small business out there, you might have a website that is actually built in WordPress.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Which is an open source program that a lot of web developers use in order to get a nice, functional content management system-based website.
Absolutely. You can buy themes and so forth, but the open source itself is free and it's open source. Right. WordPress is open source, is what my client meant to say. Mm. And just think, Tim Berners-Lee gave us the HTTP protocol, and he did that because he wanted to ensure that the web would be an open and democratic place. And just think what that would be like if he hadn't done that. Mm-hmm. Similarly, Linus Torvalds gave us Linux, obviously, which morphed into OS X, what else did
so
it do?
It's the foundation in many ways of everything we know today.
It's absolutely this foundation.
In an IT context, isn't it?
And Linux now is in everything. It's in AI, it's in space rockets, it's in servers, obviously, and it's actually been flying on Mars as well just recently with the... on a more practical level, for instance, Linux is a wonderful tool to repurpose old kit. So a well-known high-end restaurant, for instance, was getting through so much hardware because it's a frantic and busy environment with multiple staff with multiple hats on. And we rebuilt the laptops using Linux, and they're back in use and commission and doing very well. It's very robust. Mm-hmm. Well, there's loads of open source apps that we could recommend. Jitsi is one of them, very popular with journalists because it doesn't track you and doesn't record. And there's so many others. There's GIMP, there's LibreOffice, there's Blender, there's Audacity. It goes on and on.
So we're not talking about some murky world of someone sitting at home developing kind of computer software that other like-minded people are using. We're talking about quite universal.
Don't be fooled. There's nothing amateurish about open source. Mm-hmm. They're used and supported by professionals. And in fact, there's more coders here than any Fortune 500 company. But they're brilliant developers, but they're interested in the code rather than the marketing. Mm-hmm. Something that we looked at and adopted for our portfolio, a few private cloud system. And if you have a look, for instance, CERN, the God particle people, saw Dropbox, loved it, but they couldn't accept the terms and conditions. Mm-hmm. So they built their own and released it into the community. Mm-hmm. And most of our clients have been using a version of that before lockdown. Mm-hmm. So when lockdown hit, of course, they were well placed to carry on working from home or to go home to work, but they could still access their documents and everything else. There's some fantastic tools out there.
So it's robust.
Robust.
It is widely used.
Stable and secure. Uh-huh. Benchmark in security.
Fantastic. Because I think security is obviously something that everybody is very conscious of these days.
Oh, it is. It's totally. And it really starts with the people sitting down in front of the computer. Mm. That's the most vulnerable aspect of any network. And that's been particularly obvious during lockdown, when people are, again, on their own. They haven't got a colleague to bounce off. So security awareness training is really important. In fact, I took a couple of courses myself. I was quite horrified to find that I wasn't 100% secure. So, yeah, we've all got fallibles. And so it's easy to just prise that door open and walk straight on in.
So the approach you take then with clients is to start with, obviously, as Bruce does, to start with understanding their pain points, if you like. Mm. But you would, wherever possible, you would look to advocate an open source solution for their business, because presumably there's going to be some other benefits there in terms of cost, perhaps.
Well, open source is generally free to buy, so you can download something like LibreOffice for no money. They ask for a donation, which is always nice to give. Very much like Wikipedia, you know, it's open source. Mm-hmm. There are definite advantages with a great product that's got good security and is compliant. Then you can put it in. Of course, it needs needs configuring, it needs setting up, maybe on a virtual server, who knows, but yeah.
So that's where you guys
that's
come in.
That's where we come in, yes.
That's your forte.
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah, definitely. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. We can build really, really good Linux systems and put them in offices, and they'll have all the benefits of the cloud, mm-hmm. and all the benefits of security that brings as well. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about cloud, because you mentioned cloud earlier, and you mentioned something called private cloud.
Yeah.
So what do you mean by that exactly?
I mean that instead of sharing a data center with other servers, for instance, you've got your own server, you know where it is, mm-hmm. nobody can access that data, nobody else has got any openings to it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's their own private cloud, but it works in exactly the same way that any other cloud does, mm-hmm. 365 or Google. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether anybody would advocate them necessarily, but nonetheless, mm-hmm. So it's really good. There's lots of features in this particular cloud as well. So you can have calendar contacts, you can have phone systems, and it's very, very sophisticated and great to use. It's been great, and you know, you can get all the data on your phone device. It doesn't matter what you're using. Mm. It's just a brilliant thing with Linux. It doesn't matter what you're using on your desktop. It could be anything. It's a seamless fit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And how readily does it integrate with other software, for example? So it's all very well you running, a particular type of software in your business, but if you can't then talk to other businesses outside of your cloud, for example, or your four walls, how does it integrate? You know, can someone send me an email, for example, using any other email system? Will I receive that, and will I be able to send in the same way, for example?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think most things are internet-based now anyway. Most CRM systems are all mm-hmm. internet-based. Mm-hmm. So it really doesn't make any difference what you use. You know, the internet is... If you've got the internet, then you're capable of sending emails or doing anything else. You can even run Outlook if you wish to. Mm. You know, really, it's that flexible. Mm.
Mm. So, in under lockdown, then, and sort of post lockdown, what are you seeing as the trends in the marketplace, if you like, amongst your clients, and what are you advising your clients to kind of to do now, in terms of their IT needs?
Well, obviously, a class. For instance, one of our clients has got patents and he's got petabytes of data. So a data center would be completely unsuitable, and a public cloud would, for obvious reasons. We've built a very robust server on site, and he can still access that sort of stuff from anywhere. Telephone is another one. I mean, you don't have to be at your desk in the office anymore to get important phone calls. Mm. You can just put a soft phone on your mobile, and you can be just about anywhere. Well, unless you're at a heavy metal concert, obviously, which might be a bit of a giveaway. But as I say, putting good security awareness training in and other tools that would prevent or at least cut down, because there's no 100%, defense against it. But some tools obviously will help cut down the amount of phishing, spam, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So connectivity.
Connectivity, for sure.
Yeah, security.
Absolutely. It's a really big one growing all the time. And
accessibility.
Accessibility has to be there. Mm-hmm. But also knowing where your data is, who's got access to it, how are you being tracked? With the rise, I've got a car battery at home, and I know that it a charger. Sorry, and I know it sends reports to its main office somewhere. And I think, well, I don't know. Yeah. It's tracking me. And
we're going to talk about the Internet of Things, aren't we? I think in the final part of the show. But you're absolutely right. Yeah.
But that's a big thing. Yeah. Just be aware of where your data's going. Who's got access to it?
I had same as you. You know, we've both taken advantage of a free electric vehicle trial recently, haven't we?
Yes, we did.
And I was, as with you, I had to read the small print because, they had to make it clear to me that, the vehicle was fitted with a tracker. Mm. They would know if I'd broken the speed limit. They would know where I'd been, all my journeys. And I had to agree to that. You know, you probably didn't read that by the look of horror on your face.
Well, it wasn't me that picked the car up. I certainly didn't know that. My goodness me.
But, no, it's an interesting point. point. Fantastic. Well, look, I think what we'll do is we'll play another music track, and when we come back, I'd like to explore the Internet of Things and where we think that is going, and artificial intelligence as well, for the final part of the show, which I think will be fascinating. So do stay with us, and we'll be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect. Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world. Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back to the final part of the BizConnect radio show today. We've had a lively discussion all around information technology and the changing needs from our IT, from a business perspective. We've just been talking with Jane Chakravorty about Invicta Linux and open source IT solutions. We've also been hearing from Bruce Kidd at Oasis today all about the software applications that he works with businesses to implement to help make them more productive and more efficient. But what I wanted to do now, if we can, guys, is just finish with a conversation about where we think technology might be going and evolving in the future. And we hear something called more and more about this, something called the Internet of Things. And what does that actually mean, Bruce? What are we talking about there?
So for me, the Internet of Things, I absolutely love the idea of this. It's a basic interconnectivity of everything that we have, from our mobile phones to our home systems to our fridge to our oven to our bath. Everything is interconnected. Now, that's the most basic form on a personal level. Of course, that goes into business too. So what do I mean by that? It means that when I use the milk from my fridge, the system knows that I've used it. It places some milk on a shopping basket for me.
Wow.
Once a week, the shopping basket is filled up with the items I use around my home. Mm-hmm. The shopping basket goes to the supermarket of my choice. The supermarket of my choice takes the money from the bank account of my choice, mm-hmm. and they deliver to it at a time of my choice. Mm-hmm. These things are all, I have absolutely no intervention in that. And that is what the Internet of Things
does. What a great example.
And exactly.
And that's just for a pint of milk.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
So how does this translate to business going forward?
Yeah.
So this connection between, let's take it very basic, a customer and a supplier. Mm. Connects the customer and supplier to the effect where I can now pass data electronically to and fro based on triggers that has been triggered in my business. So items become out of stock, the order is placed, the supplier might hold it in an area until he's got enough to order for me and then send it at a time that suits my needs. And more importantly, on the back of this, the supplier will then email an invoice in a certain format, or any kind of format really nowadays, to a specific email address, where my system then, via this connectivity and clever AI reading, will then read the invoice and put it in my system. So there's no real manual element, and that is what the Internet of Things is going to offer us mostly. I mean, that's in the most basic form I've mentioned it. This goes so far, can you imagine, to all businesses that has components and manufacturing areas. You know, this can be so connected, and everybody knows where everything is at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah, incredibly powerful, isn't it?
It's really, really exciting. I welcome it, you know, with open arms, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll just mention now, actually, the Internet of Things relies heavily on Linux, just so I get that in there. But yeah, I mean, you know, imagine self-driving cars. Come up, take me to the pub, bring me back. What I would consider drudgery now. I mean, obviously, our generation's changed since my parents' generation, as far as that's concerned, sort of Monday washing day, that kind of thing. But to have that all down, to have your shopping order, to have your lights down, to have your blinds, to have your heat regulated so I could turn my heat on or off, you know, 5 minutes away from home, it's fantastic. It's really exciting.
What are we
going to
do with all this spare time we're going to have? Not being taken up with all these, in inverted commas, mundane tasks that we all do. What do you think we'll fill our time
we're going
with?
To elevate our minds to higher levels.
Yes, let's hope so.
Live the life we're supposed to be living.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Well, guys, it's been absolutely fascinating having you in the studio today, sharing some of your insight in terms of you know, where businesses have needed help you know, under COVID, and ultimately, you know, how that really is going to fundamentally change, I think, the way businesses do business you know, in the future, and obviously with the advent of new technology and artificial intelligence, as you mentioned, Bruce, and the Internet of Things as well. You know, it's continually evolving, isn't it? I think that's the nature of technology. You know, we are continually evolving, so it's very exciting. Give me a shout out quickly if you can, guys, for how we can get in touch with you. Jane, how can we get in touch with Invicta Linux and find out more about open source and whether it will work for my business?
Yeah, lovely. Thanks, Martin. So it's invictalinux.co.uk. Email is jane@invictalinux.co.uk. Website, I'm just giving you that. Or phone. Oh, can't remember the number.
InvictaLinux.co.uk. I'm sure it's on there. Bruce, how about you, Oasis?
So, the same idea for me. You can reach me on the website. It's all the W's, oasis.co.uk. I can also be reached by email, bruce@oasis.co.uk. Uh-huh. And my mobile number is 07967037073.
Brilliant. Fantastic.
Thank
Guys,
you very much.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you in the studio today and helping sort of demystify some of this kind of technical jargon and understanding around IT as well, particularly, you know, how things are going to be moving forward. So, yeah, great to have you with us. And that's the end of the show today. We will be back in 2 weeks' time. And I think our co-host, Lynette Wood, will be back in the studio. And we'll have two more fabulous guests. But for now, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. And goodbye.
Goodbye.
105.9 Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.